Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Tzaddik Gimel. Today's daf has been dedicated by Jerry Harari and family in memory of his brother Yosef bin Simcha, Sheneftar Bekitsur Yamim Veshanim. Today's daf is also being studied by Ainu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We're going to start from the Mishnah on Sadi Bet Amud Bet. That is the second Mishnah on the Daf. But Nitin Hamotzi Kikal Rishu Tarabim Hayav. If a person transfers a loaf of bread in the public domain on Shabbat, for example, he took it from a private domain to a public domain, so he's going to be Hayav. Now that is the obvious case. The Mishnah is only telling us this case to set us up for the next case, which is the Chiddush. Hotzi'u Shenayim Peturim. However, if two people carry the loaf together, so then they are both exempt from Korban Hatat. We will see why that is so. Lol Yachol Echad Lehotzi'o Lehotzi'o Shenayim. But let's say neither one of the people were able to carry the item by themselves, meaning it was an item that needed two people to carry. So then the Mishnah says, if two people carry that heavy item, then indeed they are both going to be hayav. But Rabbi Shimon poter, and Rabbi Shimon says, even in that case, bottom line, two people carry any item, or two people do a melacha, he says in all scenarios, they're going to be patur. And now the Gemara is going to analyze and give us the reasons and the sources for the halakha. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Ve'amrila, Amar Abaye, Ve'amrila b'matnita tana. We have a statement of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, and some say it's Abaye, and some say it's from the Braita. Ze yachol, ve'ze yachol. Which means, let's say each person was able to do the entire melacha by himself. So you had two people, Zeyachol, Vezeyachol, and they both, let's say, did the melacha together. Rabbi Meir Mechayev. Rabbi Meir says, still, in that case, even though they did it together, even though it's really not the normal way to do such a melacha, because really each one could have done it by themselves, but they paired up, he says, even so, they are still both hayab. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, potri. But in that case, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say, patur. Gemara says, ze enu yachol ve ze enu yachol. Let's say they both cannot do the melacha by themselves. Therefore, they pair up to do it together. Then it says Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir mechayvim. So then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir will say hayav, or Rabbi Meir certainly will say hayav, but Rabbi Yehuda also says hayav. For Rabbi Shimon poter, and Rabbi Shimon still says patur in that case. Ze yachol veze eno yachol. If you have one guy that's fully capable and one guy that's not, which is one guy is able to do the melacha himself and one guy not, and did it together, devre akol hayav. So then everybody's going to say hayav. The Gemara will explain that case as well. So let's review the three opinions. It seems that Rabbi Meir is the most strict. In all scenarios of two people doing a melacha, he always says hayav. Even if each one was able to do the melacha individually and they paired up, still each one is going to be hayav. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is on the other side of the spectrum. He says all cases of two people doing the melacha together are indeed going to be patur. And you have Rabbi Yehuda somewhere in the middle. He says it depends. If both of them were able to do the melacha by themselves and they paired up together, then they're going to be patur. In the case that you're going to be hayav is where each one could not do the melacha by themselves, and they paired up and did the melacha together. And then the Braita brings a fourth case where one is a yachol and one is an eno yachol. One is totally able, and the other one is not able, and they paired up together. There, the Gemara says, "Devrei Akol Hayav." Everybody's going to say Hayav in that case, and we will see the opinion again elaborated on in the Gemara. Tanya Namiachim, have a Braita to support this. Now, I just want to point out, our Mishnah would be the opinion of the Rabbi Yehuda. If we go back to our Mishnah, said, "Hotziu Shnayim Piturim." And then it said, "Lo yachol echad lehotzi'o ve'otzi'u shnayim hayavim." So that is the opinion, obviously, of the B Yehuda, which makes a difference between where both were able, then it'll be patur. But if both were unable and they paired up, they will be hayav. Comes the Gemara further and says, "Tanya nemeachem." We have a brayter to support this. Hamotzi ki kalishut arabim. A person, let's say, transfers a kikar, a loaf of bread, in the public domain, hayav. Hotzio shnayim. But if two people carried it together, Rabbi Meir mehayev, like we said in all scenarios. V'Rabbi Yehuda omer, im lo yachol echad lehotzio, if either one of them could not have carried it on their own, v'hotzio shnayim, and they paired up together, hayavim, then they are hayavim la. But if each one individually was able to do it himself, piturim. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon is poter, even in a case where both were not able to do it by themselves and they paired up, still Rabbi Shimon says patur. Now the Gemara says, mina hane mile. What is the biblical source for the opinions that we have just quoted? We have a braita, ba'asota. The pasuk says in Vayikra Dalid, I'll read you the whole pasuk. Ve'im nefesh achat techeta bishkaga me'amaharis, ba'asota achat me'mitzvot Hashem, asher lo te'asena ve'ashem. Torah tells us about the law of somebody that commits a lo ta'aseh, a negative commandment. And the way the Torah says it is ba'asota, when he does the sin. So the Gemara is going to make a derasha on the word ba'asota, when he performs the sin. So the Gemara says ba'asota ha'ose et kula. Only if a person does the entire avon is he considered liable. Ve'lo ha'ose et miksata, but not somebody that does part of the melakah. The Gemara gives examples now. Ketzad, shnayim shayu ohazim bemalgez velogzim. A malgez is a pitchfork. It's like the Hebrew word mazleg, which would mean a fork. Some words in Hebrew, they switch the letters around, like keves sometimes is said kesev. So the same thing over here, mazleg, is being read over here, malgez. But that basically is a pitchfork that they use in the fields in order to collect the hay or the straw. That's what the lashon is, velogzin. Logzin is they're collecting the hay or straw. Now that would be an isur on Shabbat. It's one of the 39 melachot called me'amer. Me'amer means collecting. Right? So the Gemara says, if let's say two people are holding the pitchfork together, committing this melacha of me'amer, or becharkar veshoftim. Charkar, we said, is the instrument that they use in the weaving process in order to straighten out the lines of the weaving that sometimes got bunched together. So they would take this sharp instrument and they would separate the lines of the warp or the weft in order they could be straight. So this would be an isur on Shabbat, as we learned. One of the melachot was mesach. In any event, let's say two people were holding onto the charkar together, performing this melacha. Bekulmus, or for that matter, two people were holding onto the quill, vechotvim, and they were writing. Bekane, or they were holding onto a reed simultaneously. Veotzio l'rishut rabim, and they committed the melacha of transferring. Yachol yu hayavim. Do you think in all these cases where the melachot were done by two people, you think they're going to be hayav? Tamud omar ba'asota. So we have a pasuk to teach us ba'asota ha'ose et kula which is only if they did the entire melacha themselves. Here the melacha was split, it was done by two people, so therefore we learn a ptur. Now the Gemara continues, be'igul shel devela. If let's say you have a cake of pressed figs, the assumption over here is these items are very heavy. And both people carry the cake of pressed figs into the Rishut Rabim. Bekora, or with again a heavy beam, so this would be a case of Ze'enu Yachol. Each one on their own would not be able to carry it, so they paired up. The Biyu Daomer, Im lo yachol echad leotzio veotzio shnayim hayavim. So the Biyuda introduces his opinion and says that if each one would not be able to carry it together and they paired up to carry it simultaneously, so both of them are going to be hayavim lav peturim. But if not, means if each one was able to carry it together alone and they paired up, then they're going to be patur. That's the opinion we learned from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Afalfi shelo yachol echad lehotzio, lehotzio shenayim peturim. Rabbi Shimon, again, the most lenient of the opinion, says, even if each one individually could not have carried the item together, and they paired up, which means, even though you can argue and say, well, that would be the normal way of carrying that item, still he says, they're going to be patur. The kach ne'emar, and he brings the pasuk, the kach ne'emar ba'asota. This is the Bishimon learning the word ba'asota. How did he learn the word ba'asota? Yahid sha'asa'a hayab, shnayim sha'asa'ua peturim, meaning ba'asota, only one guy does it. But if two people do it, in all scenarios, they're going to be patur. Now the Gemara says, b'may kamepalge, what is really the basis of the argument between the Bihuda, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir? Because now we know what they hold. Again, Rabbi Meir being the most strict of the opinions, always saying hayav, Rabbi Shimon always saying patur, and Rabbi Yehuda making a difference. Rabbi Yehuda's difference basically is that when they're unable to carry it alone, and therefore they pair up to carry it, that's considered the normal derech. Therefore they're going to be hayav. Whereas if each person, let's say, can do it alone, and they pair up, so that would not be the derech. Because technically each one could have done it alone. So therefore he's going to say patur. But now we want to know biblically, what was the source of their machloket. So the Gemara says, be'ai kera. The argument really is in how to interpret this pasuk that we've quoted, ba'asota. Now the Gemara elaborates. V'im nefesh achat techeta bishkaga me'ama'ares ba'asota. Right? That's the pasuk. Let's simply, v'im nefesh achat techeta, if one soul, literally that means we say a person sinned, bishkaga, unintentionally, me'ama'ares, from the people, ba'asota, while he did, and the Torah continues, one of the negative commandments. Rabbi Shimon savar telata mi'ute ketive. Rabbi Shimon says there are actually three exclusionary terms that are written in this pasuk. Well, you have nefesh, which is one person, right? Nefesh would be one. So it's as if the pasuk says nefesh techeta, if one person sins, ahat techeta, right? Ahat also is an exclusion, meaning one person. Nefesh is one, and ahat is one. So it's as if the pasuk says ahat techeta, if one person sins, ba'asota techeta. And ba'asota would be the third exclusionary terminology. Ba'asota, when he does, which is also minimizing. So he's making a derasha on three mi'utim. Nefesh, achat, ba'asota. And he's going to learn each exclusionary term a different chidush. It's as if the pasuk says, nefesh techeta, achat techeta, ba'asota techeta. These three cases of sin that he's going to learn chidushim from. So it says, had, the first exclusionary term, meaning nefesh, what is it coming to exclude? Lemeute ze oker veze mania. Yes, only when one person sins, meaning when he did the entire sin himself. However, if it was split by two people, meaning one person was the Oker and one was the Maniyah, for example, in the law of Hotza'ah, to be Hayav, you need an Akira and an Anaga. So the Taru Sukkah is coming to say, V'inefesh, meaning only if one person did the entire sin to the exclusion of two people splitting up the sin, meaning one did the Akira and one did the Anaga, in that case, they're going to be Patur. Now, that she tells us on the third line, V'ze maniach b'reshut yachid. Okay, the second guy was maniach the item in the private domain. Dechol kama delo ketiv ela had mi'ut. If this was the only mi'ut, the exclusion that we had, mistavra dehai hu demimait. We're going to exclude this case first. Dehai ka'avid palga, dehai palga, veleka had demisaya bekula. This is the most obvious case to exclude, where one guy's doing half a melaka and the other guy's doing the other half. That's the first exclusion. We give the most obvious case. But now we have a second exclusion. Vehad, which means, it says, v'nefesh ahat. So what is the ahat coming to exclude? Vemeute zeyachol, vezeyachol. So now we exclude a case where both people on their own were able to do the entire melacha. Now they paired up together. So technically, even though both people are doing the whole melacha, right? It's a little different than the first case. The first case was each one was doing half. Here, both are doing the entire melacha, but they're doing it together. So that's what the second exclusion is, ahat. Only when one does the melacha and not two. Third exclusion, dehad lemeute ze enu yachol veze enu yachol. The third exclusion gives us the biggest chidush. Even in a case where both were unable to do the melacha by themselves and they paired up together, the pasuk is saying ba'asota, meaning only one person that does the melacha is chayav, but if it's done by two, even though the only way it could have been done is by two, because each one couldn't have done it by themselves, still ba'asota comes to exclude only one person that does the melacha is chayav, but two people, even in the scenario of ze'enu yakol and ze'enu yakol, Rabbi Shimon is going to say patur. Now we have to learn how to be Yehuda studies these exclusion. The Rabbi Yehuda had the mi'ut ze oker veze maniyah. I agree. Your first mi'ut, I agree with you. Meaning the nefesh. Nefesh is coming to tell you that what? That if it was split up the melacha, meaning one guy did the akira, one guy did the anaha, patur. The had the mi'ut ze yachol veze yachol. And I agree with the second exclusion also. Nefesh Techeta is coming to tell you that in a case where both were capable to do the melacha, so therefore, and they paired up together, so that's not a normal way of doing the melacha, so the pasuk also will exclude them from hatat. Oh, what's the third miut? Behad lemiut yachid she'asa'a behoraat bedin. Totally different exclusion. Meaning, let's say the Sanhedrin made a mistake, right? The high court made a mistake and ruled, for example, halev is mutar. Halev would be fat. And normally if somebody eats halev, he's subject to karet. However, let's say Betin made a mistake on a certain piece of halev and ruled it's permissible. So the general rule is if the majority of Israel followed the mistake of Sanhedrin, so they're exempt from bringing a korban for such a transgression, because they were following the Sanhedrin's ruling. However, they have to bring what's called Par He'alem Davar Shel Sibur. They bring one sacrifice to atone for the sin of the Sibur. However, there's a machloket at Masechet Horayot. Let's say the entire Klal Yisrael did not follow the Sanhedrin in their mistake, but an individual did. Which means you have a Yahid, an individual, ate the Halev, let's say. Is he subject to a korban, since there's not going to be a pari alem davar shel sibur brought, because the sibur did not fall after the Sanhedrin, do we say that an individual maybe has to bring a korban? So comes Rabbi Yehuda, says from this pasuk we learn he does not. Ba'asota, only somebody that does the transgression, meaning on his own volition. However, in this case, what caused him to do the transgression? The Sanhedrin made a mistake. So in that case, he's going to be exempt from a korban. So therefore, since the Rabbi Yehuda uses the word ba'asota to exclude a case by the Sanhedrin making a mistake that the fellow that listened does not have to bring a korban, so he does not exclude the ze eno yachol ve ze eno yachol. The contrary, he'll hold that if both people were unfit or unable to do the melacha alone and they paired up together, indeed they will be hayav, because we do not have a mi'ut to minimize them. The only question is, what is the Bishimon? Where does the Bishimon learn this exclusion? So the Gemara said he doesn't. V'Rabbi Shimon Yachid Sha'asah Borat Bedin Hayav. He says, according to his opinion, the Ta'amim, and his opinion is what? That in Ekonami, the fellow that makes a mistake by listening to the Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin was wrong, he has to bring a Korban. So therefore he doesn't have to make a Mi'ut. On the contrary, in that case is Hayav. So therefore he was able to learn the third exclusion to tell me what? Ze'enu Yachol. The Ze'enu Yachol is Patur. Now you have to understand Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir, who says that in all cases you're going to be Hayav when it's Shnayim Sha'asahu. Mi ketiv nefesh techeta achat techeta ba'asota techeta. Rabbi Meir says, are there really three exclusionary terminologies over here? He learns that nefesh achat is considered one mi'ut. He doesn't split nefesh and achat. He says, how does the Torah usually say one person? It says nefesh achat. It's not considered nefesh one, achat one. That's considered one terminology. So according to Rabbi Meir, you only have two exclusions. Now, which two is he going to exclude? So the Gemara says, "Tre mi'ute ketive, had le mi'ute ze oker ve ze maniach." Okay, one is going to exclude the case of where the melacha was, half the melacha was done by one person and half the melacha was done by the other person, where everybody agrees. In that case, there's p'tur. Ve had le mi'ute yachid sha'asah borat betin. And the second mi'ute is coming to exclude the guy that followed betin, that will be exempt from a korban. Ba'asota, only when he did it on his own, but if he did it because of the Sanhedrin, he's patur. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, all of the cases of Shnayim Sha'asah will be Hayav. Whether it's Ze'enu Yachol ve Ze'enu Yachol, which he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on that, but even in the case of Ze'yachol ve Ze'yachol, where they both were able to do it, right, on their own, and they did it together, still Rabbi Meir says Hayav. So now we see basically their opinions are supported by the way they learned that pasuk of Ba'asota. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Mor. Now we discuss the last case that we mentioned in the Gemara. Ze yachol ve ze eno yachol devrei kol hayav. Right? We said, if let's say one is able to do it himself, and one is an eno yachol, right? He was not able to do it themselves. And they paired up together, and they simultaneously did it. The Gemara says, hayav. Question is, which one's hayav? Is the yachol hayav, or is the eno yachol hayav? So the Gemara says, hey minayu mechayev. You know, which one is mechayev? Amar Rav Chisda, zeshi yachol. He says, of course, the one that is able to do it himself, he's going to be the one that indeed is hayav. The ize she'enu yachol, my ka'avid. Because if you're going to tell me it's the enu yachol that's going to be hayav, what did he do? Which means he wasn't able to accomplish anything over here. Which means on his own, he couldn't do the melacha. The other guy, however, that was, let's say, lifting the item, he technically was able to do it by himself. So it makes sense to mechayev the yachol and not the eno yachol. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Menuna. So Rav Menuna argues. Rav Menuna argues on Rav Chisda. And he says, Dekamiseyeyah ba'adeh. Rav Menuna says, what do you mean? The eno yachol is helping. He is miseyeyah. Now, we have to understand Rav Menuna's logic over here. Granted, he's helping. But just because he's helping, there's a logic to say he should be the one that's hayav. Which means we all understand, let's say he has his hands underneath the item, let's say he is exerting, let's say, some energy. But bottom line, he's an enu yachol. What's the logic of Rabbi Meruna to say that just because he's Mesayeya, just because he's helping, he should be the one that's Chayav? So I saw somebody Shunim bring that to explain Rabbi Meruna's logic. The Enu Yachol is working much harder than the Yachol. Because since he's an Enu Yachol, he's exerting all his energy to try to carry this item. Right? Whereas the Yachol, it's less exertion. So therefore, we should mechayev the Enu Yachol, according to Rabbi Meruna at least. That's his logic. So the Gemara says, Amar le, Rav Chisda tells him, Mesayeya in bo mamash. He says, granted, he might be helping a little, but we have a klal of Rav Chisda. The one that aids, like in this case, the helper, in bo mamash, his actions are not considered significant. Which means it's considered an insignificant action. The way his lashon is en bo mamash, it's like he's not there exactly, and therefore it's considered as if the yeshbo or the strong guy, right? We're calling the zeshi yachol. It's as if he did it himself, and therefore Rav Chisda and Rav Meruna here have an argument. Rav Chisda says, "Who we going to mechayev? The yachol, right? Because the guy that's enu yachol is non-existent because of the principle that says mesayeya en bo mamash. That when you're a helper, so therefore you're not considered significant, and therefore you're not here. Whereas Rabbi Meruna says no, the mesayeya is indeed significant, and therefore the mesayeya is going to be hayav. So we have machloket Rav Chisda and Rav Meruna. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Zvid Meshemed Derava. Af anan namet tanina. We also learned this same concept in a braita. Which concept? So Rav Zvid now is going to try to prove to us what Rav Chisda taught us. Mesayeya en bo mamash. That the one that helps, meaning in this case over here, where one was able to do the whole thing and the other one is just pairing up, so that guy's considered a Mesayeya She'en Bo Mamash. How do we know that that's true? So he's going to prove it from Tanayic sources. The first source is a Mishnah, actually, in Masechet Zavin. And the Mishnah says, Haya Yoshev Al Gabe Hamita. Let's say a Zav was sitting on a bed. Let's review. A Zav is a man that had two emissions from his body that can cause him to have Tum'at Zav. The Zav himself is an Ava Tum'ah, and whatever he sits on or lies on also becomes Ava Tum'ah. Okay, so a Zav was sitting on a bed. Right, so now he has the ability to metameh the bed, because the bed is supporting him. So the Gemara says, Ve'arba taluyot tahat ragleh hamita. Let's say that under the legs of the bed there were four garments. For example, imagine you have a bed on the floor. Under each leg there's a garment. Now the rule is that whatever the zav lies on, it's going to render it tameh. So not only the bed, the chaura, also these garments that are under the bedposts, right? So he's lying on the bed, and the bed is resting on the taliyot. So therefore, seemingly, everything should become tameh. So the Gemara says, tameot. This is the deen. The bed is tameh, as well as the four taliyot. Why? Mepenei she'ena yechola la'amod al shalosh. So the Gemara gives an explanation over here. Because the bed cannot stand on three legs. It means for a bed to stand, it needs all four legs, correct? So therefore, it is each leg alone is considered, let's say, an enu yachol, correct? Each leg alone cannot support. So it's like you have enu yachol, the enu yachol. So when they do it together, what's the deen? So we said the deen is that we're going to say hayab, whether it's according to the Bi Yehuda or according to the Bi Meir. So therefore, the bed case would be analogous to Ze'en or Yachov, Ze'en or Yachov. Now, the Rabbi Shimon Metaher. Rabbi Shimon is consistent. Just like he said by Shabbat, by Hezeh Enu Yachol, and Hezeh Enu Yachol, that they're patur from Hatat, so he'll say, same thing over here. Since, even though each bed, let's say, each bed leg is an Enu Yachol, still it's going to be Tahor, like his deen of Shabbat. She just speaks that out. Let's read that in Nashi. Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. The bishom on the ta'ame, right? The bishom follows his reasoning. Ta'amar ze'enu yakov ve'ze'enu yakov name enu ela kim sayeya upatur. Right? Which means he considers it, it's like they're just, they're helping, they consider him as sayeim, it's not considered that they did the action, so to speak, and therefore they're going to be patur, and that's going to manifest the deen by zav. Right? That's the first case of the bed. Now we get to the proof that we need. Haya rochev al gabe behema. Let's say the Zav now is sitting on the back of an animal. Now again, same thing, he's resting his weight on the back of the animal. Vedalid taluyot tahat leglea bema. And now under the legs of the animal, you have four taluyot. She's in front of you, the two legs in the front, the two legs in the back, there's taluyot underneath. What's going to be the deen with the talitot or taliyot, the way the Gemara says it, that are under the animal? Well, we should say the same thing, l'chaura. The zav is resting his weight on the animal. The animal subsequently is resting its weight on the taliyot, so it should be tameh. But the Gemara says no. Teorot. In that case, teorot. That's exactly why. In this case over here, teorot. Why? Because the animal could really stand on three legs. So therefore, the fourth leg, if anything, is just a misayeya, which is the fourth leg, technically, you don't need. Now, which one of the three, or which one of the, okay, which one of the other three legs, or I should say better, which one of the four legs is considered the fourth leg? You don't know. Each one, technically, right, can be considered the misayeya, right? And what are we saying over here? We're saying that even though each leg technically can be considered a misayeya, we're still saying all the taliyot that are underneath the animal are going to be tahor. So what does that prove to us? That must be a misayeya is considered en bo mamash, which means must be that the misayeya is like it's non-existent. And therefore, since each leg can technically be considered a misayaya, therefore they're going to be tahor. So the Gemara says, "Ve'amai." Gemara asks. We're going through the thought process now. Why are you telling me all the taliyot under the animal are going to be tahor? How can misayaya ba'de? What do you mean? Each leg is helping to support the fellow. So Gemara says, "La mishum damrina misayaya en bo mamash." Must be koshal that a misayaya is worthless, and therefore, which leg are you going to consider the misayaya? Well, you have to consider all of them, because each leg technically can be the fourth leg. And therefore, since you say misayaya embo mamash, technically each leg is not considered supporting the guy, and therefore the zab, and therefore it's not weighing on the talent, therefore they're going to be tahor. Now, it's just Some analyzation that we have to make on this last case. Rashi writes in his commentary, we'll read it together. Let's read Rashi, Mipnei sheyachol la'amod al gima. Right? That's the animal can technically stand on three legs, right? So Rashi says, Hilkach, kol ehad ve'ehad havirei l'rivi'i. Right? So each leg, technically, you have to consider it as the fourth leg. Right, and since the fourth leg is the misayaya, and we're saying misayaya en bo mamash, so technically you cannot say that the bottom that's underneath it is supported by the animal, because that leg is really only the misayaya, and each leg technically has a din of a misayaya. Now, and she says ve'eno ela misayaya ve'stama k'Rabbi Yehuda. He says this din is going like the Yehuda. He considers Rashi this case of Zeyachol Vezeyachol, like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of Zeyachol Vezeyachol that said is the din of Zeyachol, and Zeyachol is what? Patur. Now, why would this case be considered Zeyachol de Zeyachol? Seemingly, it should be the opposite, which means technically one leg is an Eno Yachol, and the other three legs are Yachol. So the Rishonim do discuss and try to analyze why Rashi would classify this as a Zeyachol de Zeyachol and make it only according to Rabbi Yehuda. It could be you could explain, the way I so brought down is, you're right, each foot individually, we have to consider like a fourth foot, because which one is the fourth foot? But the gabe, the three feet over there, they're all considered yachols, which means each one of those is a yachol in regard, let's say, to the three. To the other two. It's zei yachol, vezei yachol regarding to the other two. So in any event, if you say it's going according to the Biyuda, the logic would be as follows. Just like the Biyuda says, by Ezeyachol, Vezeyachol, that what? That you're going to be Patur. Why? Because each one could have done it on his own, and therefore they're considered, each one's considered, let's say, a Misayaya, right? A Misayaya in Bo Mamash, and therefore you're going to be Patur. So the same thing would apply by the case of the Zav, and we'll go answer our original question by the case of where you have a Yachol and an Eno Yachol. Right? That was the case where everybody said Hayav. Who's going to be Hayav? Only the Yachol. But the Eno Yachol is going to be Patur, because bottom line, he's going to have a status of a Misayaya, which is from what we know of by the Biyudah's case of a Zeh Yachol Vezeh Yachol, where they're both considered Misayayas, that's why they're going to be Patur. We could learn to our case of the Yachol and the Enu Yachol, that the Enu Yachol is considered not significant, and you're only going to be Hayav, the only one's going to be Hayav is going to be the Yachol. So the Gemara brought its first proof, it's going to be one of four proofs, it's the first proof to show us that what? The Deen of Misayaya in Bo Mamash. Let's just review the proof. The proof comes from the second case of the Mishnah, the case of the animal. The animal has four legs, obviously. The Zav sat on it. Under the legs are these garments, let's say, these talitot. And the Gemara says, all four taliyot are tahor. So the Gemara says, what's the logic? Because the animal can stand on three legs. Now, so therefore, the fourth leg is considered a helper. And we know what, based on the Maskenat Gemara, the helper leg is considered a Misayaya She'en Bo Mamash. It's not doing anything. It's insignificant. And therefore, which one of the four are you going to tell me is the Misayaya? We have to say all four. So we're actually going to go a little lenient. We're going to take a leniency of it and consider each one a Misayaya to each other, to the other one, because who knows which one. Therefore, since it's En Bo Mamash, that's not the leg that's holding up the animal. And therefore it's not holding up the Zav. Therefore technically the Zav's weight is not on that leg which is underneath the Talit. Therefore that Talit is going to be Taor. That's the proof. That's the proof of Misayaya She'en Bo Mamash. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, it's a four-legged animal. Amar Rav Yehuda Mediskarta. Rav Yehuda Mediskarta comes along and says, Le'olam Emalach. Really, I could argue. Tell you no proof. I could tell you, Misayaya Yeshbo Mamash. I could tell you no, like that. I mean, when I wanted to say that, really, the Misayaya is considered significant, and therefore, I can tell you what. In the case of Zeyachol Vezeinu Yachol, maybe I can tell you that Zeinu Yachol is Chayab, because the Misayaya is bottom line significant in his actions. So Gemara says Veshani Acha, but the case of the animal where the Zav is sitting is different. De'akla la legamre. Which means that fourth leg is not even considered a misayaya by the animal. Why? Because the animal lifts that leg. So therefore, that leg is not even a misayaya. That leg is suspended in air. Which means when you consider a misayaya, when it's doing something, it's holding the animal up, or here, that fourth leg is up. Therefore, it's not even a proof to bring Misayaya and Bo Mamash. Ze afilu lo Misayaya. The fourth leg, whichever leg it is suspended in the air. Did the animal lift its leg up? So the Gemara says, "V'chevan d'zimnin akra." So the Gemara doesn't hold it. Since you're telling me that it's not even considered misayeya because it lifts its leg up, "V'chevan d'zimnin akra ha." V'zimnin akra ha, which is which leg does it lift up? Which means the animal could lift up any of the four legs. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, we have a sefik, right? Which leg now was the leg that suspended itself up? If that's the way you're going to learn, we have to treat it like the following case of sefik. What's the case? Levik hezava mitapich. Let it be like the zav that rolls over. I'll tell you the din outside of the zav that rolls over. We know that whatever a zav lies on, where the majority of his weight is resting on that item, can make it tameh, it's called tameh midras, meaning it makes it an av hatum'ah. Now let's say you have a case where, like the Gemara is going to tell you, you have benches that are, you know, lined up, or you have, let's say, cushions, five cushions, hypothetically, lined up on the ground, lengthwise, right? One next to each other, lengthwise. The zav is lying on one of them. Okay? The Gemara is going to say that when he wakes up, you have to assume that all five are tameh. Why? Because you assume that when he sleeps, he rolls over. And since he rolls over, so therefore the majority of his weight is going to be on each one of the cushions. And therefore they're going to be tameh misafik. Okay? And let's read that inside. Gemara says, Zav shaya mutal al hamisha safsadin. A zav that was lying on, let's say, five benches, or al-hamisha punda'ot. Punda'ot are literally like money belts that are placed on the floor, and he's using them as a cushion to lie on. Le'orkan, if let's say they're placed lengthwise, and therefore the zav is also lying lengthwise, and therefore when he rolls over, his majority of his weights is going to rest on these items. Timi'im. So then they are timi'im. Le'rohban, tehorin. Which is l'rohban, if let's say they're placed widthwise, to the width, and he's lying lengthwise, so therefore his body is not going to rest on one of them. So therefore they go, because right, he's lying lengthwise, and they are placed to the widthwise. So even if he rolls over, his body is not, his full weight is not on one of them. Right? It's touching all of them. Now to make a tameh, you have to have the majority of the zav's weight on one of them. When they're widthwise, even if he rolls over, his weight is not going to be on one of them. As opposed if they were lengthwise and he rolls over, so then his majority weight obviously is going to be on each one. So if it's lengthwise, they're all tameh. If it's widthwise, tahor. Now the Gemara says, yashin. Oh, but let's say now he went to sleep. Okay? If he went to sleep, and they were set up widthwise. Safek metapech alehin. Now you don't know when he slept, he could have got into different configurations in his sleeping and slept on any of them, which was he rested his weight. So the Gemara says, Timin. So you have to say, Misafek, they're all going to be Tameh. So what does the Gemara want to learn from the case of a Zav metapech? Look at Rashi. Timeot. Last Rashi on the daf. Dechol hada ika lememar azen etapech. Right, on each one I could say when he was sleeping, even if you set it up, let's say, widthwise, that what? We have a sefik, and therefore maybe he lied on one of them with his full weight, and therefore I'm going to say, tameh, alma, what's the implication now? Mitame'inan misafik. That when we have a zav case and we have a safek, we go to humrah and we say tameh ve'atam nameh. So say the safety by the animal. Imishum akira. If you tell me the whole logic why you don't take the fourth leg into consideration is not because it's a misayaya. You're saying because it's considered in the air. So then, and if it's not even considered misayaya because he lifts that leg up. Nitmininu misfika. So mitameh all the legs misafik. Well, how do you know which leg went up? Which, but if you, therefore we should say all the talets that are under the animal's legs should be tameh. Because which leg was the leg that was lifted off the ground. But if you say no, that's not the logic. Really, the leg is on the ground and it's a misayeya. But what? Misayeya in bo mamash. So what you say, misayeya in bo mamash? So each leg is considered a misayeya to the other three. And therefore, tahor. Which is, if you're learning, no, really, misayeya, yesh bo mamash. And the reason why the animal lights tahor is because, well, the fourth leg is lifted off the ground. So then I argue, and I say, wait, which fourth leg is lifted off the ground? Which one? We have a sefik, either one can be the one that's lifted off the ground, which means, therefore I have to say what? Misafik, mitameh everything. How do we know misafik, I mitameh everything? By the case of zava mitapech. Now when I don't know which money belt, let's say, became tameh, I say, you know what? They're all tameh, because maybe, let's say he rolled over, I don't know which one he rested his full weight on, if I have to be mahmir. But if you say, no, that's not the logic. The logic is really, he's a misayaya over here, which means the fourth leg is a misayaya. It's helping the other three. But if you hold the Seyeh Embo Mamash, so therefore each leg is considered a Seyeh Embo Mamash, and therefore it's like the Deen, like we learned earlier, it's Enu Yachol, and therefore we're going to say Tahor, and therefore we have a proof to Seyeh Embo Mamash. Comes the Gemara and says, now we bring proof number two. We also learned it in a different Mishnah. What does it say? It says like this. We turn to the Amud Bet. Rabbi Yosef says, Hasus metameh al yadav. A horse is metameh what's under its front two legs. The front two legs are called yadav. The back two legs of an animal are called raglav. Okay? Because how do you differentiate between the four legs of an animal? So the front two, they call yadav, and the back two are called raglav. Now, different animals support themselves with different legs. So the Gemara says it's a horse mitameh al yadav. He supports himself basically on his front two. Okay? The hamor al raglav. And the hamor is the opposite. He supports himself on the back two. Okay? Shemishayenet asus al yadav, because the support of the horse is al yadav, the hamor al raglav. And therefore, if let's say you have, let's say, a talit underneath one of the legs of the front of the horse, so since the horse, right, rests down on the front legs, and let's say you have a zav that's sitting on it, so the zav resting on the horse, and the horse resting on the front leg, so whatever's under the front leg is going to be tameh, okay? Let's read that in Nashi first. Hasus mitameh biyadav. Im hazav rochev alav, let's say a zav is riding on the horse, v'talet tachat achat miyadav shel sus, and you have a talet under one of the front legs of the horse, temea, right? Aval tachat raglav teora. If let's say it's on the back, one of the back legs, we're going to say teora, she'en mishanto al raglav. Right, because en mishanto al daglav, because his weight is not on the back. Now that she just points out, ve'ad etnan ne'el dalit taliot ta'at daglav be'emat tehorot, lo kene biyoseh. Well, obviously that Mishnah that we learned earlier that said when you have four under the animal, where we said that they're all tahor, that cannot be the biyoseh. Because the biyoseh is telling you that clearly the one that's in the front is going to be tameh. But now that we have the case, comes the Gemara and asks, why should that be so? Which means even if, let's say, the talit is on the back legs of the horse, right? Now, bottom line, the animal cannot stand on that one leg alone, right? It needs the two front ones. So technically, right? It needs at least three, right? So that's that one, the one in the back, plus the two front ones, let's say. So he was right. Which means it should be chayav also from the law of a misayaya, which should be tameh. Because by the back leg now is misayaya, the front, and therefore true it rests on the two, right? But it needs a third leg, right? To stand. So what's the third leg?
The back
one. So therefore we should say that if it's on the back leg, it should also be tameh midin misayaya. So the Gemara says, La bishum damnina misayaya en bo mamash. Must be again, the principle is, no, the back leg is considered a Mesayaya, and therefore Mesayaya in Bo Mamash, and therefore it's going to be Taur. Only on the front leg, where for sure that's not a Mesayaya. The front leg is where he's actually putting his support on it, so that's considered Tamer, but the back leg would be considered a Mesayaya. So that's the second proof. Third proof, Amar Rav Asher, Af Anan Amitanina. We have another Mishnah to prove this. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Raglo Achat Ala Keli, Raglo Achat Ala Ritzpah. We're talking about a Kohen now. The Kohen has to have his feet on the ground. The Gemara learns that from Pesukim, that when he's serving in the Beit HaMikdash, his feet must be touching the ground. So the Gemara says, when he's doing the Avodah, of course. So the Gemara says, let's say he has one foot on a vessel, Raglo Achat Ala Ritzpah, and his other leg on the ground. Raglo Achat Ala Even, or one foot is on the rock, okay? So the Gemara says, so how do we judge it? Look, if you would take away or remove the vessel, or if you would remove the stone, if he would still be able to balance himself and stand on one leg, avodato keshera. Then the avodah that he did is keshera. Ve'im lav, avodato pesula. And if not, then it's avodas pesula. So that's the litmus test. If you pull away the rock and it's still be able to stand, then tahor. And then kasher. If not, not. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Bottom line, we should say that the avodah is pesula. Because bottom line, right now when he's standing, what's helping him stand? The rock or the keli. And therefore he's considered misayaya. So if it's even saying misayaya has value, so bottom line now, it's a combination. It's the leg that's on the ground and the keli. Ela lav mishum de'amnemisayayim u'mamash. Must be saying that the misayayah is not considered. If he could stand on one leg alone, so the keli or the rock is considered insignificant. And therefore, we pay no attention. That's the third proof of what? Misayayah embo mamash. Fourth proof. Amar Avina, afanana mitanei. We also have another Mishnah. We have a law that says that the service of the Kohen must be with his right hand. For example, when the Kohen receives the blood, right, in order to sprinkle it on the Mizbeah, he must receive the blood with his right hand. So the Gemara says, Kibel biyamin v'smol misayato. He received the blood with his right hand, but the left hand is helping him. Avodato keshera. That's considered avodat keshera. V'amai, haka misayah badadade. What do you mean? The left hand, bottom line, is helping the right hand. So why do you say it's a misayayah? Therefore the avodah should be pasul. La mishum namnina misayayah en bo mamash mamina. Must be again the rule of misayayah en bo mamash. We don't consider the left hand significant because bottom line, he can hold it with his right hand. So therefore, let's just review quickly the four proofs that we brought for Rav Hizda. We started our Gemara in the case of ze yakol veze eno yakol, where we said everybody holds hayav. The Gemara said, which one is hayav? The Gemara said, the ze she yakol. So the Gemara asked, what do you mean? But the eno yakol is helping. Rav Hizda said, misayaya en mamash, he's not considered part of the factor. So the Gemara brought four proofs to show you misayaya en mamash. The first proof was from the animal that's holding a zav on it. And it has four talets underneath its legs. So the Gemara said, what's the deen of all the talets underneath the legs? Teora. Why? Because since the animal can stand on three legs, so therefore the fourth leg is considered what? A misayaya. Right? And which one are we going to say is the misayaya? Must be, you have to consider all four, because we don't know which one is the real misayaya. So therefore it's considered misayaya en bo mamash, and therefore we can say that the animal is not being supported by this leg. If the animal is not being supported by this leg, then what's underneath it will be taor. Proof positive. Proof number two we brought was from the case of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said only the front legs of the animal, what's underneath it, can bring tumah, because it supports itself on the front legs, but not on the back. The Gemara says, well, if you put something on the back, the chaura, it is a misayah. I mean, the front legs are supporting with the help of the back legs. So the back legs should also bring tumah. Ela, why doesn't it? Because misayaya en bo mamash. Third proof we brought from the Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash, that's standing on a rock, let's say, and his other foot is on the ground. So the Gemara says, if you move the rock away, and he'll still be able to stand, his avodah is kasher. Why? Bottom line, right now, when he's standing on the rock, it is helping him, and therefore it should render his avodah pesula, misayaya, and bo mamash. Fourth case is the case where the Kohen is taking a vessel, which he has to take the vessel of the blood in the right hand. In this case, he took the right hand, which is the primary hand, and he's just helping it with the left hand. Avodato kishera. Why? The left hand, bottom line, is a misayaya. It's helping. Ela, you have to say misayaya embo mamash, and therefore his avodah is kishera, as considered the right. Comes Gemara continues. Amar mor. We have a statement. Zeyachol vezeyachol. Right? We said, if let's say both were able to do the melacha by themselves, zeyachol vezeyachol. And what happened? They paired up with each other. Rabbi Meir mehayev. Rabbi Meir says hayav. So now we want to understand the scenario of Rabbi Meir. Ibayinu. We have a question. Ba'inan shi'ur lazeh v'shi'ur lazeh. Do we say that the only case where they're both hayav is when there was a significant shi'ur for both of them? I'll explain this in a moment. Or dilma shi'ur ahat nekulam. Or maybe you could have one shi'ur for the both of them. Let's take an example. They were carrying food. What's the minimum size of food on Shabbat to be hayav? Get or get it. Right? The size of a fig. Now, Zeyakol v'zeyakol. Both could have carried the fig's worth of food by themselves. The Bimi says, but if they paired up together, hayav. How much shi'ur do you need for both of them to be hayav? Do you say you need two gerogerot? Which means, do you say that we look at it as each one did a melacha, which means half the melacha, so to speak, in the sense that you split it. He did his gerogerot, he did his gerogerot. And therefore, you need two grogrot to say both of them hayav. Or do you say no? Only one grogeret's enough, and we look at the one grogeret as if what they both carried that one grogeret, and therefore it's considered the one shiur goes for both of them. So that was the Gemara's question. Do you need a double shiur? Right? To say that they both hayav? Or is one shiur go for both of them? Yeah, got the she'ela of the Gemara? So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda and Rav Menura. Again, we have another mahalok between Rav Chisda and Rav Menura. Had amar shi'ur lazeh v'shi'ur lazeh. One rabbi says you need two shi'urim to be hayab. Had amar shi'ur echad v'chulan. Not one shi'ur for everybody. Amar ha-papa mishved rabba afer ha-namiterina. So now he brings a proof. The papa is going to bring a proof to these opinions. Haya yoshev al gabe mita. Back to the same cases that we just brought. So this should go fast, rabotai. Haya yoshev al gabe mita. Person with zav was sitting on a bed. And there was four taliot under the four legs of the mita. Right? We learned each leg is necessary, right? Because the bed needs to have four legs. So it said temeot, right? Because the bed cannot stand on three. Ve'amai. Why should that be? Which means if you're telling me that what? That you need a separate shi'ur for each person. So this case over here is like, technically the four legs are like four people that are carrying a zav. Compare that to, right? Mm-hmm. So therefore we're saying what's under each leg is considered tameh. Why? We should need four zavim on the bed to be tameh what's under each leg. Ela, we say no, one zav has the ability to mitameh under each leg. So therefore you see one shi'ur for all. Now that's the proof that one shi'ur is enough for all from the case of the zav on the bed. Because otherwise you're going to tell me that each leg is considered supporting the bed because it's needed. So therefore you should need each person a shi'ur of a zav for each leg. No, one zav could mitameh each one. So Gemara says, "Lad mishum dam yirat shiur echad lekulan." Must be because you say the din of what shiur echad lekulan. I'm out of Nachman, but it's like helping a second proof to this concept that one shiur is enough. Afanan nami tanina svi shenichnas labayit. Let's say you have a deer that entered a house. Now we know on Shabbat you're not allowed to trap. Okay, so the deer entered the house. V'na'al echad befanav, and somebody came and locked the door. Hayav, he's hayav because he indeed trapped. Na'alu shenayim, let's say two people lock the door, peturim. Okay, so they're going to be patur. That's the case of zeyachol vezeyachol. Like they were both able to lock it on their own. They did the melacha together. So we know the din is what? Peturim. Lo yachol echad lenol. But let's say one guy couldn't lock the door himself. V'na'alu shenayim, so they both locked it together. Hayavim. Now give us v'amai. Levi'e shi'ur seda lezeh v'shi'ur seda lezeh. Why should it be a chayav? We should say there has to be at least two deer. And we're talking about a case where there's only one deer. So therefore, what do you see? La'av mishum damrinan shi'ur. Echad l'kulam. That's because we say that one shi'ur goes for both. Comes give us amar avina. Third proof. Let's say you have partners in crime. They stole an animal and then they slaughtered the animal. Meaning together. Hayabim. So they have to pay four or five, which means depending on which type of animal they slaughtered, either a shor or a seh, they did two sins here. They stole and they slaughtered. The Torah says they have to make sometimes four times they have to pay back and sometimes five times. So it says, V'amai. Why do you tell them that there should be hayav? We should say that what? Each one should have to slaughter his own animal to be hayav. Here they did it together. One animal can bring a hayu for both. That's because you say what? One shi'ur goes for all of them. Now we bring one more proof. Two people, let's say on Shabbat, carry the kaneh, the reed of a gadi. Gadi is a weaver. That's one of the instruments that the weaver uses to lay out the threads. So it says hayavim, right? So they're hayav. Now obviously, this could have been carried by each one of them. So it says they're still going to be hayav. Amai livri shi'ur hotza'a lezeh v'shi'ur hotza'a lezeh. Which is called Rabbi Meir. Which means, Rabbi Meir says what? That even though they can both carry it, Zeyachov and Zeyachol, Hayav. And clearly it says what? That they brought out this Gardi's, what do they call it, the Kaneh, even though it's only one, right? You don't have the Shiur for both, still you're going to be Hayav. So the Gemara says, Lav Mishum Damrina Shiur HaDekulam. That's because you say one Shiur is enough for all of them. Now the Gemara says, what do you mean? How do you know that you don't have the Shi'ur for both of them in this case. Remember we learned in the previous Mishnayot, what's the Shi'ur of wood? This kaneh is a wooden utensil that's used in the weaving process. Now what's the Shi'ur of wood? The enough to fuel a betzah kala, to fuel, to cook an egg. So therefore, who says, maybe in this case, you had enough wood in the kaneh to fuel two eggs. I mean, all the statement just said is that they both took out a kaneh. And therefore you say, oh, must be, it was only a shiur for one, and still you're saying both of them are hayab. Who said? You didn't tell me what the shiur was. Maybe you had enough wood to fuel two eggs. Therefore, that's why you're hayab. To give us, in kenish me'inan kaneh de alma. If that was the case, you could have just told me a regular reed. May shena de garde. Why'd you tell me a reed of weavers? Which means, a regular reed, you're right. What is it worthy for using? To throw it in the fire, to put under your egg. But from the fact that it said, kane de garde, a weaver's reed you don't use as fuel. And therefore, must have been the hadush to tell me what? You had the weaver's gardi, the weaver's kane, right? The weaver's piece of wood, not used for fuel, must be you only had one shi'ur. And therefore, the Hiddush is what? Even though you have one few shiur for both, they're both hayab. Who said that? V'dilma di'it bekedeh le'rog mapalazeh, bekedeh le'rog mapalazeh. Which means, alright, the shiur of a weaver's kaneh is not to fuel eggs. I mean, to fuel the fire to cook eggs. But it has a different shiur. The shiur is enough to use to weave, let's say, a certain size mat. So maybe we're talking about a case of a kaneh that's big enough to weave two mats, which means I forget about the eggs because it's not talking about a regular kaneh. So use whatever measurement the measurement of a kaneh of weavers is. They're enough to, let's say, weave one mat. So now let's say you have enough to weave two mats. That's the item, and therefore you have no proof. You're right. From that last case, you have no proof. Because I can argue in that last case, maybe you did have double shi'ur. Last point. Tani tani kamed Rav Nachman. We have a brayta that was said in front of Rav Nachman. Shnayim shotziu kaneh shel gardi peturim. If two guys on Shabbat carry out a kaneh shel gardin, so they're going to be patur. V'Rabbi Shimon mechayev. And Rabbi Shimon says, hayav. Now this right away, it's very strange. Rabbi Shimon, we learned earlier that Rabbi Shimon was the most lenient. He said that always whenever two people carry something, they always patur. Right? In any case, right? Even Enu Yachol and Enu Yachol are going to be patur. Now you're telling me, Rabbi Shimon mechayev, so the Gemara says, kelapela ya? Klapela ya, the way that she says is, klape echa nechpakta varze, which means, where did you switch the opinions around over here? Which means, how can you say that Rabbi Shimon is the mechayev? So the Gemara says, you're right. Change it. Ela ema hayavin. The Rabbi Shimon put it. Say that really the first opinion says, hayav. The first opinion I could say is going according to the Bimeir. The Rabbi Meir says, even though zeh yachol vezeh yachol, hayav. The Rabbi Shimon put it. Rabbi Shimon indeed say, patur. Baruch Hamalei Olam.